Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. One night stands, casual sex, friends with benefits. We cannot talk about this enough. In this throwback show, I sat down with a panel of friends from different ages and backgrounds to talk about what casual sex actually means to them and all the stigmas surrounding it. Because even a few years later, all this is still so relevant. And coincidentally, we answered an email about the double standards of casual sex that was going on at the time with recent podcast guest Caitlin Bristow when she was The Bachelorette a few years ago. So I hope you enjoy this throwback podcast that shows why these conversations still need to take place. Because the more we talk about it, the more we'll be able to enjoy satisfying and safe casual sex, free from all that shame and full of pleasure, which is what I'm all about. And I hope you are too. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the show.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com where you can check out all of our podcasts, sign up for our mailing list. You really, really should, because we send an awesome newsletter. I give you an email, I got to say. And follow us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. It's all Sex with Emily, and I love you all. Thank you for listening. And today's show, this is a really special show, not just because Menace is here.
Hello, everybody.
How what up, doing? Menace? We've got a little panel going on here.
I know.
Which we're going to introduce in a second, but we have to catch
like
up.
Like a billion people up in the studio. You can't I know. Hear them now, but
we haven't
in a bit.
Done this before.
Well, so
this,
many voices.
We are tackling a very important topic today.
Okay.
We're talking about casual sex, which is on the rise.
And on the rise?
Well, I mean,
well, probably thanks
in the
to
last
Tinder
20 years,
like that,
thanks
yeah.
to Tinder. I've got this amazing article that I'm going to read news about Tinder, which is just literally changing. Not only is there a rise in people hooking up, but also a rise in STDs. Imagine that. But also connections. The whole thing about Tinder is that it's just changed the way people are meeting, dating. They're saying it's curing loneliness. Have you been, you know, you've had a girlfriend since Tinder.
Yeah, so I
You'd
mean,
be killing it on Tinder, dude, if you
I
didn't
know.
Have a girlfriend.
I sign up all my buddies that are not on Tinder and then help them, like, make their profiles and stuff like that. And then sit and watch them, you know, like, see if anybody likes them back. And it totally works. Like, within 5 minutes of setting up a profile, they were already talking to somebody.
Yeah.
It was insane.
It's insane.
But you were talking about STDs. I was just
That's the depressing part, guys. I don't want to lead with the STD part. I'm glad people
but
are hooking up.
I was checking
up.
Out
God,
this,
so
this article, and they said just in, like, New Jersey that STDs are on the rise, like a crazy number, and they all blame Tinder.
Yeah, exactly.
But I blame the, you know, it's a small population. you know, and probably few people are on Tinder using it, and they're hooking, they're all hooking up with the same people.
Just because everyone's hooking up. And the interesting thing is, and they say here, okay, so according to a 2002 U.S. general survey, social survey, there's been an increase both casual sex and sex with acquaintances since the 90s. So from 1990 to now, to 2012, casual sex. So in the 90s, it was 32% people were having casual sex, 37% now. Friends with benefits, 30% then, 41% now.
I think also all the surveys back then, I think people were lying.
No, you know? No, but can you always think people are lying.
No, because I think people were probably a lot more uptight back then and didn't want to say, like, they want to be considered a floozy.
You know, I don't know if it was even that uptight. It just, it, you weren't oriented that way. Like, I know in college, it was like, you slept with someone and you got, I always, and I think actually, to be honest, like, in my 20s, I was in relationships. Like, I was a serial monogamist, believe it or not. I did cheat, you know that. I'm a former cheater. But I was committed two and a half years. And it wasn't like casual sex. Yeah, it wasn't accepted. It wasn't like people would just go on a date and like be like, yeah, I'm dating five guys. You just wouldn't say it. And now it's like, if someone's in a relationship at 24, you're like, really? And part of me can, you know, think that you, I don't think you should get married until you're 30 anyway. You know I believe that. I think we change a lot in our 20s. I think that it's not a bad thing to date around and figure out who you are and what you want. So I kind of wish I could, well, I guess I am doing it over. My friends, well, I would say I'm like 20 now.
We'll talk about it more with our panel of people.
So here. So how have you been?
I've been great. I'm very upset with you, by the way, though.
Why?
You haven't posted photos of my dog yet on your Instagram, and I sent them over to your staff. But, you know, whatever.
Dude, okay.
Okay, it's cool. You know, you hate my dog. It's fine.
Whatever. I'm so. First of all, you are the most private person in the whole world that I feel like I'd have to get like a release form signed to
no
picture of your dog on Instagram. But your dog is really, really freaking cute. I'll do it. We'll do it. Madison will probably do it right now
all
as
right,
we're talking.
Sweet.
But congratulations on that. It's like your
Thank
first
you.
Child. So,
it's
now does that mean you guys are going to have a baby soon? Because that's what couples
no.
do. Yes, yes. You get a
no
dog and
way.
Then you get a baby. Yeah,
Hell
dude,
no.
it happens.
No, we already have a bunch of vacations coming up and we already have dog sitters and stuff like that.
That doesn't mean that you can't have a child.
We're very anti-child.
You just.
So.
Okay, so maybe you'll just have a dog and be one of those people that like dresses it up and like,
yeah,
our baby.
Already,
and like you send out Christmas cards with
we
pictures.
We already bought it outfits and all that kind of stuff.
Oh my God. So. You used to laugh at me when my dog had outfits.
No, I laughed at you because you should not have a dog.
Well, you were right.
At all.
You were right.
You can barely take care of yourself.
Exactly.
Why are you going to have a dog?
Well, because it was a mistake. My friend, she's a vet.
How long did this dog last?
No, we had a good run. I mean,
yeah,
she's with a wonderful family right now. So I just there's a lot going on in my life.
That dog, by the way, farted on me, and I'm still offended by it.
I used to bring her to the studio. It was very cute. Yeah. But speaking of Instagram, Menace. So I did a big a workshop last night at Hustler Hollywood, which was friggin' amazing. It was oral sex workshop, oral sex 101. And it was for men and for women. So I taught about fellatio and cunnilingus, which this, I don't want to embarrass you, but I'm going to. But in 2005, when we started the show, we were on a live show. We were on Free FM radio. And I said cunnilingus. And you did not know what it was.
Well, you were like, you were ahead of your time on the cunnilingus.
No, you think I made up cunnilingus?
Slang term. You were.
You think I made it up?
Yeah.
You think I just came
like
in
a,
that day?
You were a pioneer.
I'm like
of
Kinsey.
The term
I'm like Kinsey.
Cunnilingus.
But so last night, it was a packed room. I mean, there were so many fans there because, you know, I don't do a lot of live things. And this one woman, McKenna, right? Madison?
Yeah.
McKenna, she's awesome fan. She's been a fan for a long time of the show. She's like, I just need to know what men's. He's so cute. Like, you hadn't posted enough pictures of him, and then I saw him, and he's really, really cute. And like, why don't you post a lot of pictures of him? So I'll post a picture of you and your dog for McKenna. And thank you.
No, just post a picture of the dog. You know, I hate taking photos.
People don't see you.
I know. Keep it that way.
Okay, so I think we should. Well, I've got a little to introduce this topic. I am going to read a little sex in the news, and then I'm going to get into our people here.
Okay, cool. Because they're all staring at us right now while we talk.
I love them. I'm so glad they're here. This is gonna be fun. Okay. This is important. An unfathomable amount of people are getting laid from Tinder, according to these stats. So speaking at the Cannes Lions International Festival of Creativity, the co-founder of Tinder, Sean Rad, claimed that in the 2.5 years Tinder has existed, they've already facilitated over 8 billion matches.
Jeez.
2 billion in just the past 2 months. So Tinder is now up to 16,000 swipes per second, which means a truly unfathomable amount of people are getting laid via Tinder these days. By the way, this is an interesting fact. It's the same co-founder who was ousted a CEO by Barry Diller, CEO of IAC, parent group of Tinder, after Sean Rad was caught drawing Diller's initials in the shape of a cock and balls. Do you remember this story?
Come on.
No, really. Sean Rad still remains president of Tinder and a director within the company. He sounds like a good, fun guy, okay? Yeah. Right? Anyone who comes with Tinder.
So uptight.
As of April, right, what the hell? As of April, Tinder has a total of 6 billion matches, according to its downloaded page in iTunes, which translates to 195 million matches per month. Insisting that one of the missions of Tinder was not about seeking sexual partners, but to cure human loneliness. He said, the people that you really...
Yeah, right. That's always the cover-up.
For well, it's every, kind like, of true, though.
Out there. Oh, we just want you to meet
well,
people.
I mean, if you're lonely, you might know, you want to have sex or eat a pint of Ben and Jerry's. Or both at the same time. I don't know. The people that you meet really shape who you are. Every person you meet has the potential to change your life. We all have the sense of belonging, community, get close to the world, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But now everyone's hooking up, so that's the point. And then curing loneliness, perhaps, as a company to operate that kind of scale is fascinating because he's very proud of all these numbers, as you can imagine, when your audience is so global and diverse. The average user spends 11 minutes a day on Tinder, and with 16,000 swipes a second, 1.4 billion swipes a day, and 2 billion matches in the last 2 months, he finds it outrageous Tinder is currently valued at the 5 billion range. It's not just a hookup app.
It's okay. Crazy.
So let's introduce our panel, and I'm going to talk about...
Wait, can I say something real quick? I'm sorry, guys.
Please do. Waiting.
But this came out actually a couple hours ago in the news that these teens overseas, they came up with a condom that changes color and it can detect STDs.
No way.
And like for each STD, it's a different color. So
are you serious? Is it glow in the dark? It'd be better if they were glow-in-the-dark colors.
Dark, but I don't think that's the main point of
it. Well, all I'm thinking is if you're having sex with someone and you're like, it's green, you won't really see if the lights are out. You're like, you have chlamydia.
Yeah.
So it should just be a glow-in-the-dark. I mean, I don't mean to, okay, but it's a great idea.
I'll
sorry,
man. These teens who managed to figure out how to figure out if you have an STD and say, look, this thing sucks because it doesn't glow in the dark.
I'm like the investor in the room going, really? That's a good idea, but have you, who's your, no, that's a great idea, actually.
Yeah,
that is brilliant.
Pretty insane, so
but I wonder how it works. Like, because sometimes doctors can't even detect if you've been, you know, if you have herpes.
Yeah, but
it
you know what?
Up.
It's better than nothing.
It's brilliant. No, I think that's actually brilliant. I'd
so
like to invest in the company and then make
and
it glow in the dark.
Are going to be billionaires, and I would like to go on the condom private jet soon once they get
that is really, really smart.
Get money.
Because you know what? The thing is, people lie. Oh no, I'm totally good. I got tested last week.
Yeah, like, no,
how the hell
your
do you know?
Turn green, you have syphilis.
Yeah, you're like, syphilis, I'm out. See ya. You know, like,
you're lying
really.
Bastard.
That is really great. And right. Another news story that came out, which isn't on here, which I just think is funny. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do this real quick. Did you hear that the founder of Match.com, who met his partner on Match.com, mm-hmm. She cheated on him and left him for a guy that she met on Match.com?
I did know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think that's sort of sad.
Her name was Emily Morris.
I don't cheat anymore.
Anyways, let's introduce
I gave that
our
up.
Panel.
Okay, guys, thank you for your patience. Thank you for being here. Okay, to my left. First, I'm going to start with, okay, so we've got, because I figure we got to have a dialogue of who actually engaging in casual sex or have, you know, flirted with it. So let's talk about it. We've got Justin Gunn. Justin.
Hello.
Say hello.
That's hello. A name, Justin Gunn.
Yeah. It's quite a name. I know. I actually, Justin, I know from San Francisco. He used to work at Current TV.
Oh, sweet.
And we met 10 years ago. We actually dated.
We did.
Whoa, no.
Was it casual, though? We were.
I would say it was casual. How do I know if it was exclusive? It's.
I'm trying to think if I slept with anyone else. I don't think
you
I
would.
Maybe. I don't
know. You know what? I think we were casual flirting with seriousness.
Right.
I think that's what we did.
Right. And it was a good time. And then we hadn't seen each other in 10 years.
It was probably like, what, the better part of a year?
Yeah.
We probably hung out.
That was a really good year.
Yeah, it was a great year.
Yeah.
No commitment, though.
We went to Coachella together. Remember that?
Oh, dude, he's the guy I'd
said. No, the Coachella. Dude, you're infamous.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God, Justin.
You're a Coachella guy?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. What kind of worms did I just open?
I've told the story how we had sex backstage.
For like 10 years.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I've told the story. What
the
do you
guys here, everybody?
It doesn't get much more casual than that,
yeah.
You know, because typically at Coachella you're in shorts and like sundresses.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Well, we were, but then we had sex backstage. But do you remember where or who was playing or anything?
It wasn't in the butt, was it?
No.
It was probably.
Oh, you mean
Wilco,
geographically where?
Like
geographically
yeah,
where?
Yeah, geographically.
Yeah,
where.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So you're the, that's kind of a big deal because I've talked about that. That was okay. A big moment in my life.
And it,
so.
Every year Coachella comes up because I have to go to Coachella for work, and I go, oh, I'm going to Coachella. She's like, I had sex backstage.
I know. Wow. He brings it up to you. That was fun.
Fun. Thank you for reminding me of that.
So anyway, Justin and I haven't seen each other in a while, and I ran into you in LA, and yes. We're both here now. So that's awesome.
It's wonderful. It's great. So great to see you again.
Great to see you too, and thanks for coming on the show, Jordan.
Hey, how's it going?
I just met Jordan. Jordan, you are... Oh, and Justin's 41.
Yes.
You're 25.
25, correct.
And you live in LA.
Yes.
And are you you're casually dating now?
Only casually dating.
Okay.
No...
How are you meeting people?
Variety of ways. I kind of go off and on each month. Sometimes it's the apps. Sometimes it's a bar scene. But
Craigslist
is very shady. And
Craigslist is how it started, right?
So, yeah, just don't meet in those random Starbucks because they're like next door. Yeah.
So you use all the apps.
Yes, I don't date like long term. It's just always short term or friends with benefits.
Do you ever want that? Or you just
no.
Never. Nope. You've never had it?
I don't like caring about myself on a daily basis. I don't have time to care about someone else.
That's so how I felt about a dog. Yeah, I totally get it.
So I'm selflessly selfish in that
sense.
And
do you tell the girls that right away?
Yeah, straight
You're
up.
Like, hey, so nice to meet you. You want to drink? You want to drink beer? Okay, so listen, this is just casual.
Yeah, 100%.
And then do you find that they're kind of turned out? Like they're like, me too.
It's a variety.
You've probably had a variety of things happen.
Yeah, it's a lot of different angles, but usually it works out.
Okay.
It's just tough to find them.
Tough to find them?
Yeah, I mean, like, in a bar, if you go up to five girls, let's say, one's like, oh, you're an asshole. Two is like, oh, that's really douchey to say. And then the three's like, oh, I can kind of see that, like, maybe in a little bit.
Right, and then you call
Uber. Moving down. Yeah, I'm just like, no, okay, you're
back
done.
To my house,
move down the line, and then eventually it's like, oh, I'm just here to have fun tonight. Boom, thank you.
I'm in. Okay, wait, I got to go back to Justin for 1 second, because I didn't ask you about this.
Yeah.
So you are dating.
No, I'm not. I actually...
In the past, you have.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Just finish. Keep going.
No, you know, it's interesting because I came out of a relationship about 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. And it was a full solid year of exclusivity. And prior to that, this was someone that was in my life, also named Emily, by the way.
You should have just known then to run. Okay.
But prior to that, you know, we'd been in each other's lives for many years. We were together for a couple of years. Then we were not together. We're kind of off and on. So I'm actually kind of fresh back on the scene, and all of these things, these technologies, all of this stuff is actually pretty new.
Okay. So, but you in the past though, let's say before that, I feel like when I met you, you were kind of like a stud. Doing things. No?
What does that mean? I don't know what that means.
No, you have that like, fancy loft. I walked in. There's like porn. My friend, she's like, Justin, that guy you walked in and there was like porn on the TV. You were having a party and there was like porn on the TV. Like walked in. I'm like, hey, like you were like the party guy, but we'll get into that. Okay.
Yeah.
So next we have Tara.
Hi.
Hi, Tara. Tara's actually my new assistant as well. And she is, you've flirted with casual sex and dating.
I've had casual sex. Not recently.
Right. But in the past you've.
Yeah.
Dated casually, and what about earlier on? Like, were you in committed relationship? Like, you're 41 today. Happy birthday! Woo! We have cupcakes here.
There are cupcakes here. Thank
previously, you have been casual. Were you casual? Were you committed? Were you?
Yeah, I'd say the first better half of my 20s was. I didn't really. I don't know. I'm definitely the opposite of you, Dan. Not a serial monogamist. Not back then. So yeah, good portions of my 20s and 30s were spent that way.
Casually. Okay, and then we have Lori.
Hi.
My fantabulous intern.
Hey.
Lori is 27. Tell me about what's up with you now? How many guys are you banging?
I'm currently banging zero. Just recently I was banging one or two, and then now I'm banging neither of them because they're huge assholes.
Really? Mm-hmm. What happened?
Just like... Well,
she got to know them.
Exactly. No, like I'm over it. It's fine.
Okay. But I remember there was one of them helped you test out the.
That is one of the huge assholes. Yeah.
What was it? It was the Flex.
It was the Flex.
It was the Crave Flex vibrator.
You know, we'll probably still have sex in
the
future.
The
but
so
that's my feeling about it right now.
He's an asshole, but then I'll still have sex with them. Like, what's up with that? Why is he an asshole?
Because she's
I don't know,
talk
because
to
I
him.
Can separate sex from how I feel about
she
him.
You can separate sex from assholes.
Okay.
Cool.
In a way.
Yeah, but I'd say, like,
going back to Justin's point. Okay.
I'd say historically, though, I'm about 50-50 with the relationship casual sex thing. Like, I've had several serious long-term relationships and then several years of just casual sex.
And are you okay with that, or is a part of you like, God, I want, do you have that yearning, like, but I'd like to find one guy?
I straight up want to find one guy. Yeah. Okay. Like, I hella go for the relationship, just it doesn't always happen that way, and I'm cool with it.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm total romantic. Really, I usually catch feelings.
Right. Like, yeah, I'm one of those.
Yeah.
But see, that's the thing. So that's one of the things I want to talk about. Menace, what about you? Before you had this girlfriend, which just ruined my life.
Oh, whatever.
Just kidding. Because it used to be more like fun talking about hooking up. No, it's cool. I'm glad you're in a relationship and happy you have a dog. Up, no, but whatever. You're just going to have, you have nothing to say. You don't talk about
it. What do you mean? No.
Well, before this.
I think when it's casual sex, I don't know how it is for women. I think probably a lot easier and quicker if they wanted to have casual sex, but guys are just lame and dumb and dull.
The only thing that keeps heterosexual men from having sex all the time is women.
See, yeah, I don't know that.
Okay. No, also themselves, because they don't even pick up on like cues that a woman is actually interested in them because they're that dumb.
A lot of times,
I think,
men.
Like, maybe late 20s and then early 30s. That's when a lot of the casual sex started happening.
Yeah, no, it's
when
true
I was
because
younger,
this
I was just
is
too afraid and shy and this girl's not into me and like questioning everything.
Right.
Maybe, I mean, not all people are the same, but at least that's what was happening for me.
Got it. Okay, so I have a little definition here if people are confused. What is casual sex? I'm going to define three different types of casual sex scenarios. It's a sexual activity between people who are not established sexual partners or do not know each other very well. A one-night stand, a sexual relationship lasting only one night. Imagine that. Friends with benefits. A friend in which you are allowed sexual activity, but no true relationship is involved. The benefit is purely sexual, not to be tied with feelings. And then there's the almost relationships or the almost boyfriend, which I talked about earlier with this year with Annie Daly. She writes for the New York Post, and she called me about it for a press story. And she's like, have you heard about this almost boyfriend thing? I'm like, well, what's the difference? And it's kind of like a friends with benefits, but you spend a lot of their time together and may or not be seeing other people, but they're fully committed. But it's not really an open relationship. They might meet your parents. I don't know. It's kind of a loop. I think people are just kind of trying to come up with new terms. But is it really that everyone's just looking for the bigger, better deal, you think? Or are people just really just interested in having sex right now, like more sex?
I want to have sex all the time. I feel like I have a really high
really
sex drive.
Okay.
But I'm also like super commitment minded. So this is like my lifelong struggle because I always want to have sex, but to find a relationship takes time and I cannot.
But if you're also sleeping with
right
multiple people, doesn't it become kind of confusing?
I feel like I do a lot of casual, but I do one at a time. I don't typically sleep with more than one person in succession.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I go from one to the next to the next. Sometimes it's quick, but they don't really overlap.
Right.
Why
okay.
Why do you don't think they work out?
Oh my God, Menace. I wish I knew. I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe it's me.
I don't know. Okay, here's the thing, you guys. The thing that I always think about casual sex and friends with benefits is that it has a shelf life. Like, it can't really go on forever.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does. No, the same with the same person because
no, it does.
It usually ends up that one person wants more. And it's not only the chicks, Justin. Sometimes the women want – guys want more than the woman does.
Sure,
right?
Absolutely.
Because you were saying women – I mean, I know that you were kidding when you were saying, oh, guys would – but I think some of it's true that guys would just sleep around until women are like, hey.
Yeah, I mean, just generally speaking, I think there is sort of – I think this issue divides along gender roles, you know, pretty starkly, where I think if you poll, you know, 100 guys and 100 women, I think you're going to find that typically more men will be pro-casual sex than women will be as far as, like, not having relationships, just kind of hooking up. It's very sort of male – genetically, it's sort of a male-centric behavior. It's almost like the trend of casual sex is sort of validating, like, historical, like, evolutionary behavior ingrained in men.
Right, exactly.
Which is not to say that women can't enjoy it, too, and clearly they do. Right. You know what I suspect? I suspect that, because I'm 41, and when I grew up, if you wanted to get a look at a porno movie or a naked picture, you had to, you know, 12 years old, summon up the courage and go up to the newsstand and buy a porno mag, you know, which I did.
I'm sure you did. With
my older brother hiding around the corner, peeking around, you know, seeing what's going on.
Right.
But today, it's everywhere. The internet is awash in pornography, and you can see absolutely everything. And it's interesting because when I have dated below my age, at, you know, with girls in their 20s, their attitudes towards sex and sexual freedom are so much different than girls, you know,
when you were,
when I was that
that's
age.
What I'm saying. It's a totally different thing. So
it's
they
totally
really
different.
Are more open to, they're like, hey, it's cool,
yeah.
whatever. Because, but what
it's
I
not,
wonder
it's not,
is.
It's not a secret. It's not as taboo. I mean, you look at, you know, an extreme example in Saudi Arabia where everybody's, you know, completely covered up in, you know, head to toe and the guys are all freaking out and the people's relationships with sex is all whack and weird. Here, you know, and increasingly with younger generations where it's open and it's available and it's everywhere, it's almost not such a big thing.
Yeah. I mean, well, this is what I wonder, because I do agree that men and women are both on board with it more in their 20s. Like, I know that when I was in my 20s, I wouldn't be like, yeah, I'm banging five guys right now, I'm doing this or that. Like, it would be like, you, if you, I don't know, maybe we were, but we weren't talking about it. We were going towards relationships. But then I've also, like, you know, read a lot of stories, books, but like women are kind of just falling out with men, but they aren't as comfortable with it. That it sort of feels like it's not natural. Mm-hmm. And then, but I think it also, with, you know, I don't know, what do you guys think? Is it something that you felt like you're, or is it more that you're okay with it until you have feelings and then you want more?
There's so many things. I mean, me growing up, it was the 90s when I was in my 20s. So yeah, like what you were saying, there was, even if you were dating, juggling multiple men at once, it's not something you bragged about.
Or talked about.
Right. Maybe yeah. guys did, but it's that whole stigma with being a woman. You're going to be looked down on, like, oh, that's the slutty one.
Right.
But hasn't that changed? Yeah. I don't think it's changed.
I don't think it's changed as much as it should
okay,
have.
Okay, let's ask Jordan here. He's 25. Jordan, what do you think? Are these girls what? Are they slutty? Or are they?
It has changed. I get to the point usually, especially with like a friends with benefit situation, where it does get to that feeling point. And so far, it has not been from my side. It's normally them. And at that point, it's more of a, I kind of warned you in the beginning, like, I wasn't looking for this, and it unfortunately does end. But occasionally, like long term, like I forgot who mentioned it, that you bring them back around later on. They're like, oh wow, like what we had was like kind of cool. Like I did the dating
scene. Do you bring them back?
No. Like, they initiate the contact. Yeah. And I'm not going to, like, I know it's not great for their psychiatric area, but for me, it's like.
But I'm not paying the bills.
Yeah. For me, it's more like, hey, look, like it's your choice. Like I already warned you. You definitely know what you're jumping in with. It's not me searching out for it.
So it's interesting because I wonder if women typically, you know, and this goes both ways again, but women think, well, I can change them. I'll be the one, Jordan. Like, you're going to be a challenge for me. Yeah, you say you don't want something committed, but I'm going to be, you're going to fall in love with me. And you're like, no, didn't happen.
Yeah, they
you know?
Always think that. Too.
They always they
part
do.
Part of the chase for
I
them,
mean,
absolutely.
Both ways.
Yeah, it does go both ways, but typically.
I can fix him.
Yeah, I'm going to fix him. And it
or
almost
I can
is
fix
like.
Her.
Yeah. Well, that's
I'm
kind of
being very PC today.
I've been, so. I know, it's so weird. Who are you? You got a dog and now you're being PC?
I've been beat up by the PC police all week.
No, so. I get it. I am too. But I have to say that it's interesting just because I typically was the one who didn't want. Really, I would get into them, but I was like, the guy was saying to me, like, oh, do you want a relationship? And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess I will because you want it, but I don't. And then it's funny because the more I would say, like, I'm really not looking for anything, they would want more.
Oh, that's so true.
And it's like
so
that
true.
Whole thing in life, you want what you can't have. But I'm not like the typical normal female in that way, but do you find that as well? That,
yeah, absolutely.
That they're always like, that there are the women, it's like bait. It's like, what is it, like catnip.
Catnip,
you're like,
yeah.
The second you say, like, I don't want it, they're like,
ugh. I want more. Yeah. And it's tough to deflect because, like, you kind of like, you know they care about you, and it's like not the best thing to like ruin their feelings. But at the
what
same
happened
time,
in your childhood though? Your parents married?
No, divorced.
Divorced. Yeah. Okay, so you don't have, so you didn't see like a model of a really great relationship.
I've seen
what age? What age were you when they were divorced?
We're gonna five. Have you lie down on the couch like
yeah,
an
so
animal.
Let's therapist this out.
And then you're gonna have sex with someone here. No,
that's no, fine. It's only like 15 years.
It's an interesting point. But how old were you when your parents were
five.
Divorced?
Five.
Okay, so
yeah, my parents are happily married and have been my whole life. So I feel like I'm looking for that.
Okay.
That's my idea of it.
Right. What about you, Tara?
They divorced, but I was in my 20s. Okay. I was already living out here. So.
See, I'm not even sure. Everyone always talks about like, well, I want to be with, I was talking to a guy friend. He's like, I want to be with a girl whose parents are still married because then she's just got a lot of issues or whatever. And I'm thinking to myself, I have friends even now who are like, their parents are divorced, you know, maybe they never knew their dad or whatever it is. And then parents have been together forever. And the people whose parents have been together forever, they're having problems finding someone because they're like, I want it to be the love like my parents have. And then there's people who are like, oh, well, relationships don't work. So I don't think, I mean, of course your childhood has a major impact on who you are, but I don't know if it's, I think this casual sex thing is just, you know, taking over.
Well, I think it stands to reason that if somebody is raised with, you know, two loving parents and a longstanding relationship, and that's sort of the model that you have and you look up to that and you aspire to that, I'd imagine that you'd be less inclined to sort of like have casual sex and meaningless kind of hookups because that's something that you're deep down trying to attain in your own
but
life.
But what if it's not even available now? Like, is it really even? Do you guys have friends like in your 20s?
Do you really think that's true? Like, it's not even like just that ship has sailed.
I think it's available, but I think no. I do think that you can find someone, but if people are oriented more towards like it's going to be, it might be harder to find. Like, do you find like Jordan? Like, I mean, I know you don't want it, but how long do these relationships typically last before these women are like
longest maybe 2 months?
Yeah, that's about the shelf life. That makes sense.
And like even in my friend bracket, like all my friends, there's only one that's actually in a long term committed relationship. Everyone else is like shelf life average 6 to 9 months, but more it's more one night stands, 1 week, like that's about it.
But do you ever want more, like does a part of you ever want that commitment and that intimacy? You haven't had it yet, so you don't know.
I see it through like reality TV. It's great on TV and I'm just like, oh,
you know, on The Bachelor.
Jesus. Oh, The Bachelor.
The Bachelor, yeah.
Hey, like if Caitlin popped in this room right now, I might change my mind straight up because I love that chick. But people out in the real world, not yet.
Caitlin, yeah. And you know what? You'd be tired of banging her too after a while. What's that saying?
Like, what?
Find a hot girl in the bar, and I'll show you a hot.
Show me the hottest. Show me the hottest woman in the world, and I'll show you at least one guy who's tired of banging her.
Exactly, yeah. Which is really depressing. But the thing is, okay, one of my favorite quotes, and I'm sorry, it's from Annie Hall because I know Woody Allen is not that popular right now, but it is my favorite quote. And he says it was Alvy Singer. Did you guys all see Annie Hall by chance? Best movie of all times. Okay. A relationship, I think, is like a shark, you know? It has to constantly move forward or it dies. And I think what we got on our hands is a dead shark. And I think that's what happens a lot with these friends. Eventually, someone's gonna, you know,
It reminds me of another quote, which is, love is like a fart. If you have to force it, it's probably shit.
Okay.
That's so beautiful.
That's really a good one. That was really eloquent. You bring it to the men to bring up bodily
but also
functions.
Also, you shouldn't settle into a relationship. I think a lot of people settle into a relationship.
Oh, lots of people.
And then, like, 15 years later, they wake up and are like, oh, my God, this has been terrible this entire time. And then they finally get the courage to break it off, you know?
I agree.
Keep on going out there and hooking up with people, but if you finally find somebody that you think is really cool and awesome, then yeah, you should probably stick with them.
It's the other end of the spectrum, because I think what used to be happening, or what could still happen now, and again, I grew up in Michigan. All my friends in Michigan are married, or actually this is now they're getting divorced now because it's been like 15
years.
But what I'm saying is people who get married in their 20s, typically it's just we change so much, and we maybe, you know, things happen, you have kids, you get busy, and then you just, I don't know, a lot of people get divorced after 10, 15 years.
That's true. I'm from a small town on the East Coast, and everyone I know got married really young, and they're all divorced now.
So, right, exactly. So it's kind of hard to find, like, what do you, you know, the balancer. That's why I say wait until you know yourself better, because the other thing is, like, people in smaller towns, not in the big cities, they think, okay, well, I've got it. I've dated you. We've had sex. We've been dating for 3 months. This is it. And maybe they haven't even experienced that much sex. You know, they haven't been dating as many other people. And then they, like, become, they're in their 40s, and they're like, oh, I want to bang someone else. Like, I've had sex with the same person forever.
Yeah, my parents have been together my whole life, but they were both divorced from other people. So, like, the one that worked was the second time around. Like, they both came from previous marriages, and now, like, they're my idea of a perfect relationship and marriage, but...
That was their starter marriage.
Yeah, it was the second time.
That's why I get a little starter marriage thought away. I should be married and I should be divorced by now, at least, but I never wanted to get married. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, this is all going to turn to sex, people, because it is sex with Emily. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's a kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Hi, peoples. Back to our panel. We gotta get into sex, okay? So I want to know about, first of all, do you guys practice safe sex in these casual relationships? Be honest.
Always.
Jordan, I don't believe you. Lying. Really?
Always.
You carry condoms with you all the time?
All the time.
Hell no. Let me see your pockets right now.
Oh, they're empty. It's in my backpack.
Okay.
Bring that backpack with me everywhere.
Okay.
Really? Okay, but one thing, just a little note, a public service announcement, is that you shouldn't actually carry condoms in your wallet because they can disintegrate and, you know, they got sticky. Like if you open it and there's like sticky, messy, they like don't use it.
So what is the best place to carry them?
The best place is just to, I guess.
Just wear it out.
You know, just
wear it out.
Just wear it out.
That's easy.
Before you go out.
Yeah.
The truth is the glove compartment's a really bad place. Mm-hmm. So hopefully women are comfortable with that. Wherever you're at, they should just be condoms everywhere. Like if you have toilet paper, you should have condoms. What about you ladies?
I agree. They're either in my purse right now.
You never know what's going to happen on the way out of the studio.
You guys have a purse, so the guys need to carry around. Like,
they're in all.
But I think there's a stigma. What do you think, Lori? Like,
I usually carry them, but I will be honest. There have been a couple occasions that it didn't get used. Like,
just a couple.
I mean, I feel like the latex bothers me. And when I'm hella drunk, I will take that and run with it.
Okay.
The fact that the latex bothers
me. Well, it's interesting that you said that because there are non-latex condoms, which you should grab skin.
Yeah.
Okay, so these are like my new favorite condoms, SKYN. You should know this for all the people you guys are banging or potentially banging, that a lot of women do have allergies to latex skin. It's polyisoprene, and it's a different material than latex, and they actually feel really, really good. They're soft and they're thin, but they're super durable. You should get all over that.
Just use saran wrap. You'll be good.
Yeah. Don't listen to any tip like that for menace. So, okay, a question for the ladies here. Studies have shown, and I know this typically, that women want to feel safe and they want to feel comfortable. And when they're with somebody, they always say that the sex you have with someone that's more casual is not as good as when you're in a committed relationship. And even typically for women to orgasm, they need to be, you know, they always say, like, I have to, someone has to know my body, I have to know them for a while, and the sex isn't as great. What would you say about that?
I'd say that's true. I'd say that's true now, at the age I am now. I mean, when I was younger, I think the exciting thing about casual sex is the thrill of the chase. You know, you're out and you see someone and you spend the evening pursuing them and flirting and you don't know and the back and forth and all that shit. And then by the time you actually do the deed, sometimes you're like, that was it?
Right,
really?
Exactly.
All that that?
It's the adrenaline. It's the dopamine. It's that excitement. And then you get it. You're like,
ooh. Right. And, you know, I mean, sometimes, just face it, first time sex can be awkward because you don't know each other's bodies and what you're into and whatnot. So where I am now, yeah, absolutely. When you're with someone and you know them and you trust them and they know how to turn you on and get you off and all these things, they know what works for you. That kind of chemistry, that's definitely better.
Okay.
I think it's better. Yeah. I usually will have sex on the first date and it's almost always awful. Like, it's just, it doesn't ever work out. The best sex I've ever had is like 2 years into a 4-year relationship.
Right, because you're more comfortable, you're talking about it,
right.
What you want.
You know each other.
Okay, so Jordan and Justin, like, so when you're with someone new the first time, like, you guys probably think it's always awesome the first time, no? I mean, like,
no.
I forgot, no?
I say 90% of the time it's kind of bad.
Really, the first time?
Yeah, unless you either...
Why is it bad? What makes it bad?
They're just not... The ones I've been with are not as comfortable as where, like, my friends with benefits. I am very open to a lot of things, and I like being as active as possible and move, like... Very crazy. Oh, let's watch an important. Okay, let's copy that. But like, if you do, you can't really pull that out on the first night because most girls aren't as comfortable because like
Justin
you just
does.
Met each other.
Hey,
Justin, let's go somewhere after this.
I know.
I'm not kidding. The first time I went to it, he was like having a party. It was like just big, huge porn screen. I'm like, hey, and my friends were like, anyway, I was just talking to my friends. Justin, the guy with the porn, it's just that's what you're known for. And sex. Right. You're like a legend.
It's a porn
but
guy.
Here's my question for you
Wonderful.
Though. So what you're saying to me then is the first you have these one night stands, and then. So the sex isn't as great. So you have to wait for the 2-month mark till it gets more comfortable, but then it's over. So you got to start out, keep starting over again.
Yeah. I mean,
that's okay though.
It is what it is.
You'll take it.
I'll take it.
So, what are the crazy moves and things that you want to try after like you've known him for a while? Crazy.
I'm a big fan of like a pull up bar.
A pull-up bar?
Oh. Yeah, like over the door and just getting some crazier, like...
Like your pull-up bar that you're doing, like...
Yeah, and like, you know, so a synchronized swimmer or in a gymnast who can is very flexible, that's very interesting.
Wait,
whereas most people, girls are, you know, fine with just laying on their backs or just being riding.
But like
top.
You pull... I'm just trying to understand.
No,
like,
I hold that.
On the pull-up bar. Can we back up to the...
Yeah, let's go.
Who's on the bar in this?
The girl is most often on the bar.
Okay.
And it's more...
She's like this, hanging on the bar.
Yeah, or will like... I'll hold them up as anything's happening, or I'll lower the bar down.
Can you like so go you can... down it? Like, so maybe that's a good way.
Yeah.
Do you perform oral sex on these women? Oh my God.
Most
oh
of
my
time.
God.
No, no, no. Most of the time. I'm a like, you know, you give, I give. I'm all for that.
But she has to give first?
Not necessarily.
But usually.
We'll go 60-40.
Okay. 60-40. Because my friend, he says Tinder's like a blowjob dispensary. He's like, every girl just gives a blowjob on the first date. Lori's nodding. Is that what you do?
I mean, I will. I mean, absolutely. The thing is, like, most of my relationships have started as casual sex, and then they turn into, like, a super serious relationship, so...
Because you must give a killer blowjob.
I really do, yeah, and I learned more last
night. We saw last night, oh my God, I gave a blowjob workshop, and she was my model on the dildo, and it was pretty impressive, I just have to say.
Thank you.
Stole the show. Tara, how about you with sex and being, I don't know, oral? Like, do you feel like, I'm going to ask you about oral sex.
Okay.
Do you find that men you've been with, they need more direction? Do they perform oral sex on you right away? Or do you feel like they're waiting for you to give a blowjob first?
I find most men love performing oral sex. Only a couple times in my life have I come across men that are like, it's not my thing, which, you know, deal breaker. Sorry.
Right. No, I agree. I totally agree.
It's not something I require every day, but I like it and I like performing it, but I'm definitely not that girl who does it on the first date or even right away. It's, I don't know.
Intimate.
It makes me, it is intimate. I want to do it when I like someone. You know?
Right.
I gotta like a guy. But then,
like
then,
a guy.
Then I'm into it.
If you like him, then you like your penis. What were you gonna say, Justin? Were you gonna say something about?
Oh no, I just feel the need to sort of back up a little bit here. And talk about, you know, like for me, what a casual encounter is all the long term relationships that I've ever had have started as casual encounters. But for me, a casual encounter has to be an encounter with someone with whom you have a connection and you feel a strong attraction.
Right.
And that's not just physically, oh, you're hot, but wow, I really dig your mind, and we're like clearly vibing on each other. And typically when that happens, when it's undeniable, then you're just going to rip each other's clothes off right away anyway. So it kind of happens quickly.
Right.
So this idea of sort of casual relationships, it's, I guess by the definition of, oh, I don't really know that person very well, but I'm going to hook up with them and have sex with them. That's not something that I do.
Okay. So you really have to have that. I mean, that's, I agree with you. I mean, I haven't had a ton of, just random casual, I know, believe it or not. I mean, I've had maybe a few one nights. I don't even, not many, like, because I typically, for me, I have to have, like, that connection. Like, I agree,
right.
Intellectual and physical. And then it can move into something else. But I can't
and
I guess if you're really drunk, maybe, but I don't get that drunk. I think if I was a bigger drinker, I'd have more of those stories.
Totally.
I've never had a one night stand.
Right.
Ever.
I'm surprised.
They're overrated.
You got to work on that.
They're overrated.
Jordan, what about you? Yeah. Do you care? Is it more like hot chick at the bar? Like, you don't really care? You'd rather not talk? It's okay.
I go 18 to 60. That's like if you fall in that range, we're good
age,
to go.
Age 18 to 60?
Yeah. I'm not as picky. Like, it's more of like, oh, if I've made eye contact, I can sell like, oh, you're looking like you're interested. It's like, okay, I'll go over, say some cheeky banter, blah, 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 moving forward, and then go from there.
So for you, it sounds like it's kind of about the conquest.
Sounds like a lot of work.
That's what I mean.
It is work.
I mean, hey,
so much work.
I'm exhausted just listening to it.
I mean, whether it's doing that at the bar or swiping right on the apps, like, you're doing work. It's just how much you want to put in, and then what's the result?
Okay, but have you ever had one of these where you're like, oh, God, I really... Well, clearly not. I liked her, but not.
No,
I think that your emotion
that
thing is
yet.
Like
emotion very low.
Have you had therapy before?
Oh, too many years.
Really? Okay. I just feel like there needs to be like a break. But you'll have. You know, you're 20. Here's the thing, though.
Oh, I
don't charge you at all. You're 25.
Down, yeah.
Like, I almost feel like I wish that I. I mean, I made up for it in the years, but I'm saying in my 20s, I was like, relationship, you know. And I'm not saying there's a better, worse way to do it, but right now you're just having fun and. So how about blowjobs? Let's get into blowjobs.
How about blowjobs?
Hey.
How about those blowjobs?
Okay.
Sorry.
Did you want to go back to the emotional connection? No, I like that Justin tried to make it deeper. Justin, you've really grown into a man. Because you actually, I remember when I met you and I started doing my show, and you did actually, which I'll never forget, gave me your three tips for a great blowjob.
That's right.
And
do you still remember them?
I do.
Yeah.
It was technique.
Sure.
Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
And how she looks while she's doing it.
Correct.
I don't know. That was like a show in 2006 I was doing. but do you still... And how often do you come across good blowjobs these days?
Well, on a per encounter basis, like percentage, I would say maybe 70% good.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. All right. And Jordan, what about you?
I'm up there like 60, 70.
Is it like pizza, though? Like, there's no such thing as bad pizza, like a blowjob?
Oh, no.
There is bad pizza.
Okay, what is a bad
Definitely.
There are bad blowjobs.
What's a bad blowjob?
Well,
What makes a blowjob not as enjoyable?
So number one, the most important thing is enthusiasm and passion on her part. She's, pardon my French, but worship the cock.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where she's like, loves it, is totally into it. If she's shy and tepid and a little scared and unsure, it kind of makes you feel uncomfortable, because it's like, well, you know, you've got my cock in your mouth, but you're unsure about it. There's something just instantly unsexy about that.
That's true. I always say that enthusiasm, we talked about this last night in my workshop, that I've always said it and I agreed with you with your things, some of them. I don't know if I'm that order, but I think enthusiasm is number one. That even for oral sex, a guy, we don't want anyone between our legs who's like kind of, you know, their eyes are rolling back in their head and they're checking their phone. Like, you want to know that they're into it, that they want to be there, especially when like a guy's going down on you too. Or like the 2 seconds he goes down and you're like, wasn't that enough? I'm sticking my penis. I'm like, are you kidding? Like,
no, one of those guys that I ran into years ago, it was somebody who really wanted to date me, and he wasn't into oral sex, but he's like, I'll try it for you because that's how much he liked me. But
right.
Yeah, exactly. You're 2 seconds, and I'm like, oh, just go. Just get out of
here. Yeah,
he's
like, I'm just going to, like, lick you.
Horrible.
I'm going to make it wet enough so I can stick my penis inside you. Like, that's not oral sex.
It's obvious you're not into this, and no.
So next. What makes good oral sex for you?
My number one thing when receiving oral is that it's so important not to just go right for the clit. Like, the buildup, if I could tell every guy that's ever gone down on me and ever will, like, please maintain some sort of suspense and build up. And then it'll come like that. But if you like,
I'm gonna second that.
Yeah, if you start fast, then you have nowhere to go and you just won't ever come.
Right. We talked about this for 2 hours last night during the workshop. You can't go right for the clit like that. I get that you learned what the clit is, and I'm so happy that you got it.
You found it.
That you gotta hold back on. You gotta hold back. You gotta do some massaging on the vulva, yes?
Yeah, well, I was gonna say with when it comes to the blowjobs, also just apply pressure, man. Nothing is worse when you have no pressure on it at all.
Yeah, it's true.
It's basically just floating around in your mouth.
Very, very true. No, I'm serious, you guys. That was one of my top five tips last night for blowjobs, that if you're too soft, like, you have to think about, you're mimicking a vagina. You're mimicking their hand, so you have to have that much pressure.
I want my penis like in a vacuum, not a cloud. You know,
right? That's a good one, man.
Well, I think fundamentally, male and female anatomy and what feels good are kind of on other ends of the spectrum. Where, you know, a penis is pretty much resilient and pretty like bulletproof. Like, you can squeeze it, whack it. You know, they're tough, right. And they kind of require a lot of, you know, pressure and effort. Whereas, you know, a woman's vagina is anything but.
Right, exactly. Softer, lighter touches. Jordan's like, vagina wood.
That's why vagina is considered flower. Penis is wood.
Exactly.
We're very different items.
We are very, very different. So I have a question for you guys. Do you think that men and women have different expectations for casual and sex partners? Like, do you feel like that it's the same? Like, what are your expectations from someone, really? Is it just like, return my call at 11 o'clock at night because we're going to hook up? Or do you feel like it gets more complicated with the casual sex part?
We make it complicated. I don't even know if it's necessarily even a man-woman thing. It's like an individual thing. Every single person has different expectations and different wants and needs and requirements and whatever, and issues and, you know, mental blocks, whatever they have when it comes to sex. And you don't know what you're getting into. You just hope that it's going to sort of mesh with yours so that it can last as long as it can, and usually it doesn't.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So what about, do you think that women are... I don't know, like, you've all these casual relationships, but if they start getting, or the women like, come on, I want you to meet my parent. Like, does that ever happen? Or like, where were you Friday night? Like, the second they're, what happens?
Not really. That's why I try and preface it as much as possible. Like, I will continue to say, even after, like, we've had sex, I'm like, look, like, this was very fun. We may do it once more twice, but like, this is going nowhere. I try and be as straightforward as possible because I've seen the other girls that, like, I'm friends with being led on by these assholes. Like, oh, you know, we might have a relationship or whatnot. But in the end, it's the same stuff. They just want to have sex with you as long as possible, and then cut out when they realize, like, oh, wow, like, I have to meet the family. No, I'm done. So, like, I try and be as honest and straightforward as possible, and I feel that me doing that, they could be lying straight to my face. I don't know. But with that, it works better for at least me.
Can I ask you a question? Any of these women that you hook up with, that you have sex with, do you really – do you like them as people?
Sometimes.
You really don't. You don't want to hang out with them the next day. You're like, don't let the door hit you in the ass.
No, I try and I leave. I'm not more of like try and bring it to their turf. They're more comfortable. And it's like, if worst case scenario, if I do stay over that night, yes, I will get a food with you. I'm not going to be a complete dick about it.
Is there like friendly pillow talk afterward? Or are you like, I mean,
yeah. What? Oh, you want to watch some Friends? Like, I got some time.
It's just available.
Do you like
on
women?
Yes, I do.
You do. You like? No, I think that's a good point though. Like, but you're not finding like, you're not talking to them about like feelings or things you like or emotions.
Like, I know my emotions and feelings scale is very low for right now, and like, there is that side eventually that can come out, but right now, like you said, it's my 20s. Like, I don't even want to consider having a relationship. Like, there's too many beers out there in the world. I want to try a lot of them before I even consider, like, oh wow, that's my favorite beer. Like, let's look up for that and see what she brought to the table and try and find that again.
Did you find a nice hoppy one that you just let go?
I mean, yeah, I think eventually you're going to hope there's going to be something will happen. But, you're very honest about this.
I appreciate that because I meet people online sometimes, like half and half like you, and oftentimes they'll say, like, looking for a relationship. And I meet them and they talk to me as if they're looking for a relationship. They give me unsolicited compliments and love. And then act like how you're talking, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
And also, so if someone were to say, this is never going anywhere, it's only sex, I'd be like, yes, thank you so much for letting me know.
But don't you also run into a lot of women that absolutely don't believe you when you're saying all this stuff?
Yes. Yeah, that it's tough to convince them. And like, yeah. I'm like, look, I'm not lying to you. Like, please understand, because I've been down this road
you're
too
like,
many
here's
times.
Here's testimonials yeah, from girls.
Like, yeah. Let me just call
you
my friend
fill
real
the
quick.
Website.
Yeah. It would be easy, but there is definitely resistance.
Do you have like burner phones that you have to throw away? Disposable.
I mean,
phones.
What?
Just keep getting a new Google number, right?
Yeah. You know?
God, you guys, so funny. So is it? So is it? Tinder, you've used Tinder too. So do you find that people are saying, yes, I want it, and they don't? Laura, you're having that experience with that as well?
Absolutely. Over and over. I feel like maybe that's these guys' ways of like hooking a girl is to pretend like they're looking for a relationship when they're not.
Do you think that you might be projecting that too much right away and then they're like afraid of that? That
I feel like I go in pretty cautious because I know that I catch feelings. So I go in pretty...
Yeah, but do you think you project that? Like, oh, I'm really looking for, a solid relationship, like, too early on when getting to know somebody. Maybe you don't pick up on that, and then they get scared and run away.
Well, they don't run
it's
away,
It's, like, too
though.
Much too fast.
They don't run away.
Well,
they
like
just want to do everything
but
the commitment.
Of course, they're not going to run away.
So I should not
I
should be dishonest about it?
No, I'm not saying don't be dishonest.
Do you think she gets like needy and clingy?
Right. Is that it?
I don't want to say it.
Right, but I just said it.
Yeah. But yeah, it might just like, whoa, this might be moving too fast for me. And then the guys.
But I feel like they fully participate in the quick movement, though.
Yeah, I mean, any guy would. Yeah.
See, yeah. And the other thing is that we have to talk about the attachment thing. So the reason why I started out saying inherently, it is sort of like Justin was saying earlier, like it is kind of like I think how men have always wanted it. Maybe they've reluctantly gotten into relationships. But for women, it's biological. We have the oxytocin. We get attached after we have sex and an orgasm with someone. We get attached. Many women do. And so it's interesting because men also have the oxytocin that spikes. It spikes, but then it drops. That's why you fall asleep right after. But women are like, oh my, that's why I always say it's best. I mean, I don't know rules, wait 3 months. But if you actually like someone, like you like one of these guys, let's say, I would say withhold, like not withhold, but wait to have sex. Wait to see if you actually really like them. Because what happens is when women, a lot of women have sex too soon, then they can't see the red flags waving in the distance, I would say, because they're just attached to the sex part. So the more longer you wait to have sex with someone, you actually get to learn more about the person, their character. Do they, you know, are they a good person?
I want to have sex, though.
Yeah, I know, but tough. Like, but honey, I've given you so many vibrators at this point.
I know. just let Emily Oberkausen show you her arsenal of things that will hold you over for a while.
She knows. it's like my office. So I'm curious too. So here's another thing, little study here that I just wanted to, it was kind of going back to that. It says, this is what it says, is that... I'm going to find this. It was just more about how women just have a harder time, like I was saying, with attachment. And, okay, forget it. Doesn't matter. Because, okay, wait. In 1989, okay, the stigma has gotten better, but it still exists. The stigma with, like, having sex too soon or whatever, if men are judging women, especially for women. So in 1989, study asked male and female participants if they would engage in sex with a stranger, if propositioned. 70% of men said yes, compared with 0% of women. This is in 1989. 2012, a new research discovered that women said no for two reasons. So they're still saying no. Number one, they don't want to be labeled as a slut. So there's still like this labeling thing. And they don't think the sex would be very good, like we talked about it. Because really, is the sex that great on the first, like we were saying, like the guys are good. You guys are like, it's not so bad the first, it gets better, but.
No, like I said before, I think one night stands are overrated. They are. You don't really know what you're getting
into. It's more about like the chase and the excitement and all that. So this, another report was casual sex has been seen as a male activity for some time. A recent poll from Self magazine says that women do enjoy the anonymous hookup. It analyzed the response of 2,000 unattached women between the ages of 18 and 63. Jordan, that might have been someone that you just hooked up with, and found that 82% of them have engaged in casual sex. So I just think there's like a shelf life, and it can't go on forever. But maybe we need to alter our behaviors if we are looking for something serious. So I'm going to have you guys help me answer an email real quick. Anything else you want to say?
No. I'm waiting for the emails. You know I love those.
I know, you guys. We're going to do a little roundtable answer of an email here. You guys are awesome. Is there anything else you guys wanted to say about? Anything else you guys want to say about casual sex or the relationships or anything you want to add? I think it's awesome. Very helpful.
Wait, I wanted to note from Jordan, do you think that if a woman has a high number of sexual partners in her history, that makes her like slutty? Does that turn you off to her?
No, I'm absolutely not one to judge. If anything, like if you have a higher number, it's easier for me to identify with you because I know you've been through this almost as many times as I have.
Yeah, I don't think guys... I mean, there's a few guys. I don't think a large majority of guys that actually care. Don't you think it's just, I hate to say it because I'm going to get an email, but do you think a lot of it is just women judging other women thinking that they're sluts?
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big part
I think
of it.
It's men too, though. No, I think this is actually a really good point.
I'm not saying that guys don't say that, but I feel like a large majority of guys do not care. And it's just other women judging each other, saying that they're sluts.
I think there's a double
crap about them.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think the double standard still exists.
Because here's the thing. There's the guys who are like, first of all, let me just say this. Don't ever talk about your number with your partner. If they ask, I don't care. Like it's like a don't ask, don't tell.
Don't even know your number.
Exactly. What's forget that? Your number. I don't know, right? Don't know your number. That's actually a good point. But this conversation never ends well because... First of all, why do we need to know that? And either the person might judge you and think, God, she's a slut or he's a, you know, whatever, been with so many people, or God, they don't have enough experience and they, you know, either way, it doesn't end well. But I also do think I know some guys who are like, if I know her number and she's been with too many people, then I don't want to be with her. Like, because that I want someone, like, it's kind of the Madonna whore thing. Like, I want to bang her, but she's not the woman I want to sleep with. And then there's some guys who are like, I like that you've experienced. Like, I appreciate that. And so I just think, just don't forget to talk about it. It's my thing. Well, because it's not important.
Or do talk about it. And if you're a woman who has a higher number and you're perfectly comfortable with your sexuality and your behaviors and it's healthy in your own mind and a guy is turned off by that number, well, guess what? That's not the guy for you.
Exactly. But I just also think it's good to talk about like what you like. All this, I always say people don't talk about sex enough. The thing is like, talk about what you like, what you don't like, but to sit and go like, I had sex with 226 people. Like it's just not an interesting, it doesn't get you anywhere. It's just so people can find information that is usually not helpful. Okay, an email. Ready. Hey, Emily. I would love to hear your views about the hypocrisy in Hollywood regarding sex and specifically casual sex. I read the headlines around the current Bachelorette being vilified for having casual sex on a reality show. Well, I do despise reality TV and have never watched the show. Talk about a double standard. Sex and one night stands are so sensationalized in fake movies and TV shows.
Exactly what I was saying. Who are making these comments? So I guarantee you, if I go on Twitter, who is calling her a slut? I can probably break down the numbers for you. And yep. I guarantee you, a large majority of the people talking ish on The Bachelor
are women.
Are women.
Right. Well, that's the majority of people watching, I think, that show. I don't think you have a lot of heterosexual guys watching The Bachelor.
Tons of guys.
Really?
Guys are obsessed with that. Yeah.
Really? You can't avoid it. It's also on the news, too. So guys are gonna comment it on it also.
Oh, you can avoid it.
You do have a point, though. You do have a point.
Yeah.
I will give you that as far as women. But I think it just comes back to that competition factor between women.
Yes, of course. It comes
down to that. And
I'm glad that you admit it because I try to bring this up all the time. I go, why must there always be, I'm not saying all women, but negative comments about a woman crossing the street? Like,
well, because it's self-esteem. Women bash other women because it makes them feel better about themselves.
I know.
And I think it's horrible. I mean, I really try. I mean, I never do. I don't talk about people. But most women do.
No woman ever looked at a mannequin in lingerie and said, what a slut.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like it's got to be a real person that poses a threat to them, and that's a
maybe too. Technique. It's they're jealous.
Right.
Maybe I don't know the situation other than what I've read, but maybe they're like, "Damn, I wish I could just have a one nighter with a hot guy and not be judged."
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's self esteem, it's jealousy, it's competition, and they're actually seeing it on TV. So it's they're
so
like,
what was the question specifically?
Well, I didn't finish. I didn't finish the question. So talk about double standards. Sex and one night stands are so sensationalized in fake movies and TV shows every day, but when a real person has casual sex, it's right back to she's a slut. The same people that made Kim Kardashian a household name after a sex tape are slamming this person. Thoughts? Adam from Chicago.
Well, I don't necessarily think that's true. I mean, I think that's kind of the thesis of this whole show, is that it's not like it used to be where if somebody, you know, it was discovered that they were having casual sex that, oh, you know, a woman is a slut. I think that is changing. So I don't necessarily agree with that.
But apparently everyone's been vilifying this Bachelorette. Is that true, right?
Yeah. I mean, all in all the entertainment news.
The one that you want to bang.
Stuff like that.
Yeah,
they pretty much just.
Caitlin, right?
Yeah, I mean, they pretty much just read, you know, what the internet feedback is on social media.
Well, let's be honest. We're not talking about real people, real life. This is a television show, and the whole artifice of this show is so maddening to me because you're going to give people 5-15 minutes over the course of an entire series to spend time together, and they're supposed to decide if they're supposed to effing get married.
Yeah,
give me a break.
It's
absurd. So
just if you break down the situation that they're commenting about, that happens on a day-to-day basis, not even in front of a camera, you know?
That's true.
So, but with reality TV, there's just so much more fodder for it now that you're like, what, feel like...
Yeah, so there's so many people that can jump in and comment on it.
I think it's just human nature that people either need to jump on bandwagons because they need to feel a part of something and part of a community.
Or they need to take
sides because they need to feel like they're on a team. Mm-hmm. It really just boils down to people wanting to belong. So they want to like chime in because then they're saying the same thing as this guy, and that means they fit in with that crowd.
Yep.
And...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was talking to my mom about this actually last week when it came out, and she had an interesting view in the sense that she views The Bachelorette as a fantasy romance. So in a romance, typically, you don't have that one-night stand leading up to it. It's more like, oh, it's a build-up, and then that special night, and the fantasy suite, that's why like they usually wait till it. And the fact that you shouldn't have to deny the attraction you feel. I don't care if it's a first date, 50th date. If you feel it and you want it, go for it. And it's just because they're so used to it for 20 seasons or whatever, that's been just this romantic, you know, whole buildup.
It's like modern day like Cinderella.
Yeah.
It's like all these men like courting you and stuff.
I just think the backlash is completely unnecessary, and I'm pro Caitlin hooking up with whoever she wants, including myself.
So we definitely see the show.
Feedback at sexwithelmy.com.
Right. So I guess we definitely see, I mean, I guess, and I would love to hear from my listeners, women and men, what you think about this too, because I just wonder if, you know, who's having a hard time with it? Because this is clearly a trend. This is clearly what's happening in their 20s. You say more so than not, because we've kind of have a split room here that's what people are doing. Like, they're going into it thinking it's casual. beyond a relationship. And, you know, a lot of studies or common, you know, wisdom or knowledge is that women like can't handle it, and they're actually going along with what men want. And so they've kind of socialized to think like, well, none of my friends are wanting relationships now. And I'm just wondering if it's, you know, it's going to shift, or there'll be a backlash. Everyone's going to have herpes. So, you know,
I think it's really healthy, because, you know, you've got now, it used to be the only option was, okay, if you're going to sleep with somebody, it better be pretty serious. And if you're sleeping with them, well, then you get in a relationship, and there's a path that's going to take into a relationship and marriage and whatever. And I think it's really refreshing that this is at least a viable option that gives people, like you say, that waiting period, which is so important to really get to know somebody, because you don't know somebody for like a year, even if you live with
a year and a half. I think you're absolutely right. Yeah.
So at least it's an option, because if you have a series of casual encounters, well, you never know which one's going to stick. And one of them might surprise you and, my God, I actually really like this person, and they're really growing on me. You know, and the more I learn about them, the more I like and the more I'm attracted to them. And I think that's the healthiest approach to finding a real solid relationship.
Yeah. So maybe it is a good trend. People should be using more protection. But also, yeah, I think it's because the other alternative was like our friends, like we were saying, Tara, in our small towns, you got married to the first guy they slept with, the second or third. Most of my friends who got married at 25 had like four partners, which to me is like, you know,
unfathomable, right?
I had like four last week. No, just kidding. I've not been having a lot of sex lately. I'm just going to say that. But no, but I'm, you know what I'm saying? It's like, that's really it, but that's a different thing. So yeah, Rob, you're good. You're loving Rob.
Well, he's living the life of a
20-year-old. Jordan, I don't even know why I didn't sleep.
He's living the life of a 20-year-old, though.
You're kind of rocking it, yeah. Jordan, right? Like, you're
trying to hold it down.
But, you know, when you get to be old folks like us,
Well,
you're going to realize it's too much work, and you're going to find somebody cool.
It's true.
Calm down.
I admire what you're doing, because you are honest. But exactly, someday it does sound like
okay.
I'm sorry. I keep asking questions of Jordan.
No,
I find it fascinating. So where is your quality scale? So your age scale is 18 to 60. Mm-hmm. What is the quality scale like on 1 to 10? Like, do we discriminate? Yeah. I mean, are we, you know,
do
it's
they
like
have a full set of teeth?
It's like George Carlin once said, "I never banged a 10, but one night I fucked 5 twos."
I just go with the motto, everyone likes to be taken care of, and I don't really, you know, you might have a,
so you find you're not super discriminating.
An equal opportunity,
that's the best way, equal opportunity employer.
Very so generous not, with what, his penis.
Okay, you don't have like a type or anything, one thing that attracts you?
No.
All right.
Wow.
So literally, like, you'd bang almost anyone in here.
I'd say yes to...
maybe all of them. We're going to wrap the show, so you can do whatever you want. Justin, is there... what about you? Is there anything you want to plug, your website?
No, not at this... not at this moment.
Not at this moment. Anyone else? Anyone? Okay. Well, okay. Justin, Jordan, Tara, Lori, Menace, you rock.
Thank you.
Anything else you want to say?
No. Well...
Find me
on Twitter and Instagram, just Menace, MENACE. And so I don't fill my timeline with dog photos. My dog has his own Instagram. My dog Churro. Follow.
My dog Churro. Okay, I'm going to follow it, and I'm going to post all of that. Thank you all so much for being here. Thank you, Madison, for amazing show, for producing. And also follow us, you guys, because, you know, we give some good social media stuff too. So check me out on Instagram and Twitter, it's at Sex with Emily, and facebook.com/sexwithemily. Anything else that we got to talk about, Madison? All right, everyone, thanks for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.